It's time now for Living Theology, a weekly program in which Dr. John B. McDonald seeks to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ, living with competence and joy. With today's episode, here's Dr. McDonald.
As we turn from the last page of the book of Genesis to the first page of the book of Exodus, we shift forward about 400 years. Jacob and his family of 70 or so has now become an ethnic group numbering in the hundreds of thousands. Egypt has become their home, and Egypt's culture has become their story. Over the centuries, they have been reduced from privileged refugees to enslaved laborers for Egypt's massive construction projects. As we begin the narrative of Exodus, competing stories unfold. To Jacob's descendants, Egypt's dominant culture had become the only way in which they experienced and viewed the world and their future. God was about to change all that. The shadow of lambs. To enter a story, you have to listen to it being told. So take a few moments soon to read Exodus chapter 12. At this point, we rapidly approach the climax of the conflict between Pharaoh and Moses, or should I say between Pharaoh's gods and Moses' God. On one hand, we have the Egyptian story of imperial domination that controls the lives, imaginations, hopes, and aspirations of those who live in that story. On the other hand, we hear Moses, as the prophet of the one true God, Yahweh. He proclaims the alternate story in which slaves become free to follow and worship God. The community of Israel is being told to take bold actions that will demonstrate whose story they will believe and live. Will they believe Egypt's or God's? The date is the 14th day of the first month of the Jewish lunar calendar, our months of March or April. Each household is to select a yearling male lamb without imperfection. The lamb is killed, its blood is collected and painted around the doorframe of the house. It might be helpful to note that the Hebrew word for basin, saf, is also used for the threshold of a door. Then the household is to eat a simple meal in which the lamb is the main course. They are to be dressed ready to travel at a moment's notice. They're pilgrims, not residents. And here's what we read in Exodus 12, verses 12 to 13. On that same night, I, the Lord, will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both humans and animals, and will bring judgment on the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. That's exactly what happens later in the chapter in verses 29 to 30. Those who took action to enter into God's story were preserved or saved from God's judgment. A death, the death of a lamb, had already occurred in each of their houses, as evidenced by the blood on the doorframe. Those who remained in Egypt's story experienced death in their homes. Egypt's story, used so effectively to control and enslave, was powerless in the presence of the one true God who is both creator and redeemer. The rest is history. Israel leaves Egypt to live in God's story, lives shaped, or should I say, lives that should have been shaped by God in obedience, freedom, holiness, and hope. One of Israel's practices is the annual reenactment of the Passover feast to keep the memory of God's deliverance of them from Egypt alive and fresh for each generation. The shadow of a lamb is now to be superseded by the reality of Jesus Christ. We fast forward 1,400 years or so to Jerusalem in or about 30 AD. The time for the annual Passover memorial feast has arrived, and Jesus Christ meets with disciples in an upper room to celebrate the Passover, with a twist. At the feast, Jesus speaks of his imminent departure. His disciples are slow to grasp the significance of what he's saying and doing. After the Passover supper is completed, Jesus introduces new dimensions. Here's what we read, for example, in Luke chapter 22, verses 19 to 20. He, Jesus, took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." He took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." What does he mean? "This bread is my body given for you." This cup is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for you. Jesus is the main course. In less than 24 hours, Jesus has been crucified and his lifeless body had been placed in a tomb. The New Testament writers bring these two events, the event of the Passover and the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, together. The Apostle John draws a sentence from the Passover record, Exodus 12, verse 46, when he writes in John 19, verse 36, he comments on the lifeless body of Jesus on the cross and writes, quote, "Not one of his bones was broken," end quote. Peter, reflecting on the death of Jesus, writes to a new generation of Christians, quote, "You know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." 1 Peter 1, verses 19 to 20. And then the Apostle Paul declares, quote, "Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed." 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7. For us, the Passover is the analogy foreshadowing the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the reality. What difference does this make for followers of Jesus? What difference does this make for you? Here are three simple proposals. First, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ is a defining event. As a shadow, the Passover paints vividly many facets of the work of God in delivering his people, Israel, from slavery through the coming, the life, and the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. As the Passover was the defining event of the salvation for Israel, so the crucifixion of Jesus Christ is the defining event of salvation for his followers, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a salvation that is offered to the world. In the history of Exodus, those in Egypt who responded to God by the obedient action of painting lamb's blood on their doorframes experienced deliverance from Egypt's slavery. Since the first coming of the Lord Jesus, those who respond to God by declaring their acceptance of Jesus Christ and his crucifixion experience deliverance or salvation from all forms of slavery, physical, emotional, and spiritual. They now become free to follow and worship God, becoming men and women loyal to the one true God as they were intended to be. Let the crucifixion of Jesus Christ be a defining event for your life and identity. Second, as the Passover was remembered by an annual meal, reenacting the historical event, so the crucifixion of Jesus Christ is also remembered by a meal commemorating his historical event. As followers of Jesus meet in community, they take physical bread and a physical cup. They eat and drink, and in doing so, they proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 to 26. So secondly, consider enriching your next participation in the Lord's Supper by reflecting on this analogy of the Passover with the crucifixion of our Lord. And a third proposal. As the telling of the Passover story impressed itself on successive generations of Israelites and defined their identity as a people, so the story of Jesus impresses itself on successive generations, defining our identity as his people, Christians, followers of Jesus. This identity is anchored in the historical person of Jesus Christ and his crucifixion. Bible scholar Bruce Waltke states, quote, "Festivals help the covenant community remember great events of the past in a way that is hard to describe, reenact them to make them real once more for later generations. This is what happens at Passover and in eating of the Lord's Supper. For Israel, Passover remembers the single most important defining event in Israel's history, its birth. And in eating the Passover Supper, the community remembered itself to that event. For the church, the Lord's Supper, it remembers the death of Jesus and remembers itself to the new covenant that is his death effected. And so in these ways and more, we can celebrate God's grace.
You've been listening to John B. MacDonald in Living Theology, a program designed to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ. Dr. MacDonald has an extensive online writing ministry. To learn more about John and his work, follow the links on the producer's page at HopeStreamRadio.com.